I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
We will stand when the battle rages, trusting in the Lord, resisting powers of darkness with shield and sword. We will lift our eyes to Jesus when courage seems small, and we will find the strength to stand through it all.
The trial of our faith brings its reward, endurance for the battle in the name of the Lord. And the truth that keeps this hope alive is the promise that He gives.
When we face the greatest struggle, we will stand. We will stand when the battle rages, trusting in the Lord, resisting powers of darkness with shield and sword. We will lift our eyes to Jesus when courage seems small, and we will find the strength to stand through it all. We will lift our eyes to Jesus when courage seems small, and we will find the strength to stand through it all.
Thank you, men, for that encouraging song. And thank you, my friend, for joining me today for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. As the men sang, I thought about the battle that's raging in our world today, a battle between good and evil, between light and darkness. Satan is the leader of the kingdom of darkness. He wants to deceive all people and lead them to eternal destruction. The scriptures tell us that he has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. On the other hand, Jesus is the leader of the kingdom of light. He wants to save all people and lead them to eternal life. He is the one who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to have that light shining in our hearts and minds.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Because of this reality of two kingdoms, our goal on The Voice of Hope and all our radio programs is to introduce people to the kingdom of light and to its king, Jesus. Now you might wonder, does radio really reach people? And the answer is, absolutely. Many rural parts of the world have no internet access or cell phone service. These areas rely on radio. And where digital platforms are available, many listen to our programs that way, too. Here's a letter from a listener in the country of Albania. Albania is located just north of Greece on the Balkan Peninsula. Our program, Messages of Hope, airs to Albania twice weekly. Lately, I have been very much impressed by one of your programs that were speaking on the grace of God. As human beings, we often forget how important it is to not take for granted God's grace. God was showing me areas in my life where I was being disobedient to Him. I asked God to forgive me and help me live a life that honors Him and gives glory to His name. Grace goes farther than sin, and so death is overcome. Thank you for these teachings. Praise God, His Spirit, through the teaching of His Word, is producing fruit in the life of this lady from Albania. Now, last week on The Voice of Hope, we began a study from Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 to 14. The title was, Fruitful in Every Good Work. We weren't able to complete that study, so we're returning to it again today. Last time, we looked at two areas of fruitfulness, growth in intelligence and growth in obedience. I ended the program by introducing the third area of fruitfulness, growth in endurance. As we resume our study, I will read the text, Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 through 14. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. As we grow in knowledge and obedience, that growth expands our understanding of God, and it will lead us to the next area of fruitfulness. That area is growth in endurance. This is the third characteristic of what we're calling the worthy walk. As Paul continues praying for the Colossian believers, he prays for their endurance. He prays that they would be empowered with all God's power by the unsurpassed might of His glory. Let's think for a moment about the power of God's glory. One of the first scenes that come to my mind when I think about God's glory is at Mount Sinai, when God gave the law to Moses. The power of God's glory was a fearful thing to those who were gathered at the foot of that mountain. God's glory was displayed in thunder and lightning, fire and smoke, the sound of a trumpet, and the earth quaking. And then there's Isaiah chapter 6. God confirmed the prophet's calling by a vision of His overwhelming glory. A vision that left him feeling like a piece of cloth that was being unraveled strand by strand. Even though he was a righteous man, he was so convicted of his sinfulness that he pronounced woe upon himself. And out of that experience, Isaiah was strengthened for a difficult ministry. You know, I wonder how many times when Isaiah looked back on that experience, it gave him the endurance he needed to keep on going. The Apostle Paul had seen the overpowering glory of Christ on the road to Damascus, and it radically changed his life forever. And then think of Peter and James and John on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. The overwhelming majesty and radiance of Christ's glory left them terrified and speechless, prostrate on the ground. The glory of God was and is like a consuming fire. Paul goes on to say that this glorious power will inspire the believers to exercise patience and long-suffering. You know, Paul could speak out of his own experience. Do you think that later, during their times of suffering for the sake of Christ, that Peter and James and John remembered that experience on the Mount of Transfiguration? You can be sure they did. Listen to what Peter says in his second epistle, chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard his voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Did you catch what Peter said and how it relates to Paul's refutation of Gnosticism? Peter says, we didn't follow cleverly designed myths. Instead, we told you exactly what we saw and heard. They had been with Jesus. They had sat at his feet, hearing him teach. And after the Holy Spirit came, they then understood many of the things that previously had been hidden from them. Their knowledge of Jesus motivated their obedience to the point where they were willing to endure suffering, even to the point of death, and they were willing to do it joyfully. You know, today there are Christ followers all over the world who are demonstrating this example of fruitfulness and endurance. They have met Jesus. They have learned to know him. They are walking in obedience to him, and they are suffering for him with joyful endurance. They refuse to deny the Christ who purchased their redemption because, like the faithful saints of Hebrews chapter 11, they seek a better resurrection into the glorious liberty of the children of God. I pray that you and I will be both challenged and convicted by their example. The final area of fruitfulness, then, we want to look at is growth in gratefulness. Living a life of gratefulness is a definite fruit of focusing on Jesus and his redemptive work. It is the final fruit of a worthy walk. The Apostle Paul stresses the importance of this fruit numerous times throughout his epistles. In Romans 1:21, he points out that a lack of gratefulness is a significant step in the downward trajectory away from God. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, he tells us to give thanks in everything because that is God's will for us. Now notice with me the focus of Paul's exhortation to gratefulness in the closing verses of our text. He urges the Colossian believers and you and me to give thanks to the Father. Why? Because he has qualified us or made us worthy to be partakers, sharers, of the inheritance of the saints in light. Well, that sounds great, doesn't it? But what does it mean? To be qualified or to be made worthy of something or for something implies that there are requirements that govern that qualification, right? If I want to be a doctor, there are certain educational and practical requirements I must meet in order to practice medicine. If I want to be a pastor teacher, the scriptures lay out certain spiritual, mental, and character qualifications I must have and develop to fulfill that calling. So how is it then that we, as sinners, can meet God's standard of approval? Because God says, "You be holy because I am holy." We certainly can't make ourselves holy. What does God need to do, and what do we need to do to make this transformation happen? Well, the answer to that question is in verses 13 and 14. And the qualification that God provides for us is solely an act of his grace. Before Christ came into our life and experience, we were subject to the authority or the ruling principle of darkness. That is, we were under the influence and the power of the kingdom of darkness. We were slaves to ourselves, to sin, and to Satan, and we were anything but holy. But now, the Father has delivered us, or rescued us, out from under the authority and power of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son, who is the object of His love. Think about it. You and I were in darkness and sin, without any hope of change. Until Christ came and intervened. Now, if you and I aren't thankful for that, then we don't understand our condition outside of Christ. Paul says in Romans 6:14 that because of what Christ has done, sin no longer has dominion or control over us. We are now free to serve Christ. And there's a detail here I don't want you to miss. The imagery of the word translate or transfer is of a deportation of a body of men from one place to another in order to establish a new colony. When you and I are rescued out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of Christ, we are put in that kingdom in order to establish, as it were, a new colony. In the understanding and practice of this time when Paul is writing, those in that new colony had all the rights and privileges of full Roman citizenship. They were an outpost of Roman culture and civilization in the midst of those they considered to be barbarians. In a similar way, we as Christ followers are an outpost of His kingdom in a world filled with spiritual darkness. And we have the full rights, responsibilities, and privileges as the sons and daughters of God. Do you see what Paul is doing here? He is refuting the whole system of eons and angels that the Gnostics placed above Christ. In Christ's kingdom, in which He is king, He has moral and spiritual sovereignty. He is first. He is preeminent. And then how is this redemption, this transfer, accomplished? It is through His, that is Christ's, blood. Through Jesus' sacrifice, we have a complete release from our debt by reason of His full payment. Redemption is a release on a payment of ransom for a slave or for a debtor. Paul writes in Hebrews 9:15 that Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Our sins have been remitted. That is, we've been released from both the penalty and the guilt of them. They have been sent away as a result of Christ's redemptive work, as far as the east is from the west, according to Psalm 103, verse 12. Jesus took the penalty of our sins in His own body on the cross. We'll talk more about this in chapter 2. Christ has done all of this for us in order that we might be sharers in the inheritance of the saints in light. I believe there are two aspects of being sharers of this inheritance. The first is what we experience now with the light of Christ in our lives. John the Baptist said of Jesus that He was the true light and that His coming makes the light available to all men. The second aspect is what we will experience in the future, according to Revelation chapters 21 and 22, when we dwell in perfect, unending light in the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What a glorious prospect! My friend, have you experienced the forgiveness of your sins through the blood of Jesus? Do you know what it means to be a part of God's kingdom, a sharer of the inheritance of the saints? Or are you still living under the domination and authority of the kingdom of darkness? If you're still in that oppressive kingdom, I urge you today to accept the sacrifice of Jesus and become a part of the kingdom of light. You see, God's goal is that all creation will ultimately worship Him, because He alone is worthy. As we embrace Jesus' sacrifice, as we learn more about Him and His love for us, it will motivate us to greater obedience. In turn, that obedience will help us to develop endurance as we suffer joyfully for His sake. And all of this together will cause our lives to overflow with gratefulness to God for His unmerited grace and favor in choosing us to be partakers of His inheritance. Do you want a life that is meaningful and fulfilling and fruitful? Then choose Jesus like these Colossian believers did. But don't mistake a meaningful, fulfilling, and fruitful life for an easy life. No, you'll be disappointed. Jesus said the path that leads to life is narrow and difficult, and only a few will find it. But the rewards at the end will be worth it all. May God be glorified as His power in our lives makes us fruitful in every good work.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's blood? Died He for me who caused His pain? For me who scorned His perfect love? Amazing love! How can it be that You, my God, would die for me? Amazing love! How can it be that You, my God, would die for me? You left Your Father's throne above, so free and infinite Your grace, emptied Yourself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. Amazing love! How can it be that You, my God, would die for me? Amazing love! How can it be that You, my God, would die for me?
Amazing love!
How can it be? I come before Your throne to claim Your mercy immense and free. No greater love will e'er be known, for oh my God, it found out me. Can it be that You, my God, would die for me? Amazing love! How can it be that You, my God, would die, that You, my God, would die, that You, my God, would die for? Amazing love.
Thank you, men. It is truly amazing that God took an interest in us when we had no interest in Him. He initiated our redemption by sending His only beloved Son into the world to give His life as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. My friend, have you found this new life that Jesus offers? Are you sitting with Him in heavenly places? If not, you can be. He is rich in mercy. He's waiting for your call. Were you blessed by this teaching? If so, you can request an audio CD or a printed copy. Just ask for the teaching by its title, Fruitful in Every Good Work. There are several ways you can send your request to us. You can send an email to us at this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org, or call us toll-free at 866-960-0292, or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And if you'd like a copy of the teaching you heard today, it's available either in print or on an audio CD. Just ask for it by its title, Fruitful in Every Good Work. Or you may log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching whenever it fits in your schedule. Now, once again, you may send your request to our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Ask for your copy of the teaching, Fruitful in Every Good Work. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace, your fervent prayers, and your generous financial support to help keep the Voice of Hope on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I hope you can join me next week. Lord willing, we'll continue our study in the book of Colossians. And until we meet again,
if some morning I am gone from this vale of tears, I'm going home to live again. I am going on a trip. When I say goodbye,
I'll live again
over on the other side.
I'll live again over on that golden strand. I'll sing and shout with the mighty angel band. You'll see me rise beyond the starry skies.
I'll live again over on the other side. I've a mansion over there, built in beauty rare.